It's exam time for those. How many of you guys are doing exams in this period, April? No? Just one, two? More than that? This is usually the high point of the university exam period and all that sort of stuff. Some of you don't want to talk about it. Okay, that's fine. We're going to open a word of prayer. Just ask the Lord's grace as we turn to His word this morning. And Father, we just come to you. We're just so grateful for this beautiful morning. We're just so grateful for your presence. We're so grateful for the gift of life and the gift of being able to be here and freely worship you this morning. Lord, as we come before your word, we pray for not you. You are all powerful. But we pray for our own hearts, our own receptiveness to the things that come from your living word. Lord, the entrance of your word brings life. It opens up lights in our heart. It frees us to serve you in ways that we are not before we hear your word. So I pray, Lord, that your word would release us and bring your blessing into this place and into the lives of all of us, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to be doing a bit of a character sketch in the brief time that we have this morning. Every once in a while, I think that's kind of good. Heads up to you that we'll be looking at Acts chapter 4, verses 36. But I'll jump around a little bit as we do a character sketch on the life of Barnabas. So Acts chapter 4, verse 36, I'm just going to have you follow along with me. And it says, "And Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles," which translated means "son of encouragement." It's very fascinating that in the scripture, the names of cities, the names of people, the names of places, if you do a search on the meaning of the name, it actually tells you the character of the place, the person and the individual, and that's exactly what this does. As we look at the life of Barnabas, I just want to kind of ask you this question. Have you ever noticed the effect that other people can have on your outlook and on your mood? I mean, I'm talking about those who are optimistic, those who are positive, the kind of effects that those kind of individuals can have on your life versus individuals who are negative and pessimistic. You ever have somebody like that? No matter what you say, they'll go, "Yeah, but," you know, they always bring in that other piece. People, through their moods and through their outlooks, influence our attitudes and they influence our relationships. And this morning, I want to speak to you about the encourager, the kind of person who inspires us to be the best that we can. Not just full of empty words, not a talk fest, but somebody who actually demonstrates real concern. And so this morning I want to speak to you of the encourager. I want to provide a focus for our study. I'm going to ask you to join me in examining the character of Barnabas. The verse that we're reading, this is Paul's first missionary co-worker. A very fascinating person, actually. We meet him in this first verse. This is why I've started here. And I want you to notice the information that's provided about Barnabas as we look at Acts chapter 4:36. It's up there. Okay. His real name was Joseph. That's the first thing. No news to people in a Chinese church because your English name is not your Chinese name. So yeah, that all just works. It sounds like that, so we'll call it that. You know, it's like they call me Domon Tamoksi. You know, they say, "Well, it sounds like Matthew, Todd, you know, whatever." But anyway, his real name was Joseph. He was a Jew, we're told. And elsewhere in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, we're told that Barnabas was a cousin of John Mark. John Mark, speaking of Mark, who was the author of the Gospel of Mark, who was associated with the Jerusalem church. And this text, Acts chapter 4, verse 36, tells us that Barnabas's nickname was, say it with me, I don't hear you, Son of Encouragement, right? His name was Son of Encouragement. Now, I want you to note that there is a Greek word for encouragement, a root Greek word, which is paraklesis. It comes from the word paraclete. And that word means comforter. And this term is used in speaking of the Holy Spirit. So this is kind of a root that's in Barnabas' name. Barnabas' name actually suggests one who encourages, one who exhorts, or one who actually comforts others. And Barnabas seems to be the kind of person whom we all would have liked to have been around. He was the kind of person that lifts up an individual's spirits. Now, let's ask the question this morning. What qualities did Barnabas possess that actually made him a positive influence in the early church that they would call him the son of encouragement? Well, let's examine the scripture and find something, I think, that would be quite relevant to us that we can apply to our own lives this morning. And I want to talk about four qualities of an encourager that we see in the life of Barnabas. I'm going to ask you to look at same chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 32 and 36. It's a further statement on the life of an encourager. Verse 32, chapter 4 of Acts, it says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had." Now jump down to verse 36. And it says, "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas," which means son of encouragement, "sold a field he owned, and he brought the money, and he put it at the apostles' feet." One of the first things that we notice about the life of an encourager is an encourager is a person who is a generous individual. In this passage, we actually see Barnabas in action, and I want you to note what he did. He was a giver. And I would say, I don't know of any of us that have actually sold a piece of land and gave it for the needs of the church. I know that when the Port Moody Church actually was being built, there were people that actually took large sums of money to make that church be planted. I see some of that kind of thing, and I have no doubt that this kind of thing goes on in various faith communities. But you can see in Barnabas this total giver. It kind of reminds me of a story. You may have heard the story, I don't know, but I'll find out in about a minute. It's a story of a chicken and a pig. And the chicken and the pig were walking down the street together. And as they're walking down the street, they see this sign that is on this particular shop. And it says, "Please give food items for the needy." And so the chicken says, "I've got a wonderful idea." He says, "You give ham and I'll give eggs." And of course, the pig replied, he says, "For you, that's giving, but for me, that's a total commitment." You've heard it before. Barnabas was a total giver. He's somebody who died to himself in the process of being a generous spirit. And I want you to observe, it's no coincidence that the scripture would have the story of Ananias and Sapphira following chapter 4 and chapter 5. How many of you know the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Raise your hands high. A few of you, okay? Ananias and Sapphira, they sell a piece of land. They take a portion and they hold back a portion of the money. They go to the church. They say to the leader, "Here, we're giving you everything from the proceeds of the sale." First of all, they don't have enough to do this at all. But they want to put on a face that they're being really, you know, really generous people. They're actually lying. And they're told by the leaders of the church, "Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit?" And Ananias is struck dead in the church, and they're dragging his body out of the church, and they barely get his body out of the church, and his wife comes in, Sapphira, and the church leaders say, "Is this, you know?" She repeats the same story her husband does, and she lies. He says, "Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit?" He says, "The feet of those who just took away your husband to bury are coming now for you," and she's also struck down dead. The scripture doesn't have chapters in the original Greek manuscripts. It all flows as a reading and as a comparative. And you can see the difference between the integrity and the spirit of an encourager who is also a giver and someone who is different in quality of their life. So such a person is a giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 says, "But just as you excel in everything, in your faith and in your speech and in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving." Such a person is not a person who's selfish in motivation. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1 says, an unfriendly person pursues selfish ends against all sound judgment, and even is a quarreler, and they defy sound judgment. What Scripture is doing is it's connecting unfriendliness and selfishness. You cannot be friendly and selfish. The two things don't coexist. And Barnabas was a friendly individual, and his generosity was stemming out of this friendly spirit that was in him. He was a person that was concerned about the welfare of others. This is why he's doing what he's doing. Proverbs 14:21, it says, blessed is the person who is kind to the needy. A generous person is motivated to look out for the needs of others, and Barnabas was clearly that kind of a person. But let's look a little bit more into his character that we get in the book of Acts, in Luke's second writing. Acts chapter 9, verse 27. Very interesting. Acts 9:27 also gives us another idea about what an encourager is like. Acts 9:26-27, it says, when he came to Jerusalem, this is speaking of Paul now, he tried to join the disciples, or I should say Saul, until his name's changed. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples, and he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. An encourager is somebody who also is trusting. We'll qualify this a little bit. But we see another quality of an encourager when we observe Barnabas in his intervention on behalf of Paul before the elders of the Jerusalem church. Now, these elders, of course, had good reason to be suspicious of Paul. I mean, based on his former life of persecuting the church, you've read the book of Acts, you know that Paul or Saul right out of the gate, you know, he's persecuting the church, he's stoning Christians, he's dragging people out of their houses, he's having them arrested, and all of a sudden, he meets Christ on the road to Damascus, he's a changed man, and he begins preaching the gospel of Christ after a period of time, and people are not trusting him. And Barnabas comes alongside of him, and Barnabas begins to advocate for him and appeal to him. Those are very key words in terms of coming alongside of people. And Barnabas was willing to take a risk, and it was one that was well-founded. Now, unless we get a sort of a rosy picture of Barnabas that is, you know, kind of distorted or something, we need to recognize the quality of trusting in others can also lead to difficulty. So I want to qualify it a little bit. It's not just a carte blanche. There was grounds for him to be able to trust him and that kind of thing. Barnabas had erred in one time in Scripture with putting trust, being too trusting sometimes. So Galatians chapter 2, when he was with Peter, and Peter decided he wasn't going to eat with the Gentiles, he was going to eat just with the Jews, Paul had to actually confront Barnabas that he was being a hypocrite and that he needed to change those ways. Nevertheless, if you want to be an encourager, it is better to make the occasional mistake than to be suspicious of absolutely everyone. So an encourager is a generous individual. An encourager is trusting. An encourager is also someone who is self-effacing. That means you put yourself into the background. That means if I read the bulletin, your name isn't all over the bulletin. Your name isn't all over every document or everything that you do. You're pushing other individuals forward. That's that kind of idea. Okay, I'm just giving you an illustration. And Luke, let's turn to Acts chapter 13. Luke records some subtlety in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And then in verse 42. I'm going to read it. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And it says, while they're worshiping, so they're in Antioch in church and they're worshiping. Barnabas is there. Paul is there. Or Saul, his name is Saul at that time. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, when we go and we look at verse 42 of Acts chapter 13, I want you to notice a subtle shift. It says, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. Now, on the surface, it may not mean anything to us to read that the names have been switched around. But it's very intentional. The scripture doesn't just throw things in for nothing. In case you were wondering, there's no wasted words in the scripture. Nothing is wasted. Everything's quite intentional, and that's why spend a little time and pay attention to the subtleties that are going on. In Acts 13:2, Barnabas and Paul. By Acts 13:4, Paul and Barnabas. And Luke is indicating a shift in the prominence and in that particular aspect. What I want to say about an encourager is that there are individual who keeps himself in the background and self-effacing. Such a person puts others first. There's no indication that there was a dispute or they argued over this. Oh no, you know, my name should be first and all this kind of jazz. Barnabas was undoubtedly content to let Saul assume the place of prominence. In fact, it was his very nature to let others go first. He made room for others' gifts. He gave credit where credit was due. He tried to move other people into place. And this is what he does. We see this again. It's not just the first time we see this with him. Such a person is interested in the good of the group or the cause. And in Barnabas's mind, you can see that the missionary cause was something that he put a priority on. There was no place for selfish ambition. We don't see that here. Such a person has this attitude of genuine servanthood. He's not a seeker of attention. This is problematic when a person is like that. Barnabas recognized Saul's gifts in preaching, and he moved to the role of a supporter, and he showed Christ, who we're told of Christ in Philippians 2:7, Christ made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And we see this reflected in the character of him. Such a person recognizes that all that is important is that Christ be glorified. It wasn't important who got the credit, but there was a need, I use the words of John, more of him and less of me. And we need to deny ourselves to be used of God appropriately and in order to be that kind of a person. So an encourager is generous individual, we see. An encourager is trusting. An encourager is someone who's self-effacing. An encourager is also someone who, in chapter 15, verse 37, let's see what we see here. Acts chapter 15, verse 37, as we follow along with looking at this life of Barnabas. Actually, we're going to look at 36 to 38. We'll look at the whole piece together. Sometime later, it says, this Paul said to Barnabas, so his name is changed to Paul now, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord. In other words, let's do another missionary journey and see how they're doing. And Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. Remember, John Mark is the cousin of Barnabas. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because, speaking of Mark, he had deserted them in Pamphylia. In other words, partway through the trip, he split. And he had not continued with them in the work. And they had such a sharp disagreement. That's very polite. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark, sailing for Cyprus. But Paul took Silas and left and commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. An encourager is loyal. An encourager is loyal. Here's another event in the life of Barnabas that is very instructive to us. Paul did not want John Mark to join them on their proposed second missionary journey because he had abandoned them on the previous journey. Not really sure that we don't get the details of this, where the guy got sick, he got scared. These missionary trips were for the faint of heart, okay? Wasn't sort of these nice little kind of cute package deals here, right? I think it might be equivalent to going into Iraq and doing a missionary trip there. Okay, seriously, you know, read the book of Acts. You'll see they got beat up, they got stoned, right, within an inch of their life. It's kind of like that, right? So we don't know the emotional state of Mark or why he left. We just know he took off. And because he abandoned them, Paul was just straight up, no way. And Barnabas wanted to give him another chance. And on different levels, I think both leaders were right. I mean, Paul didn't want to risk the work being damaged by somebody who wouldn't give his life for Christ, basically. Put it that way. Put it in those terms, right? And Barnabas believed that Mark could redeem his past failure. So you can see the 2 points of these two leaders of the church, doctors of the church, if you want to call it. And so the result is, in verse 39, the two separate missionary journeys are created. But as I focus on and hone in on Barnabas, you can see that such a person sees the good in people. Emphasizes strengths, minimizes the weaknesses, and minimizes historic past failures. We need to look for the positive. I think this is very instructive to us. Such a person will even defend a person who has no defense. Boy, now who does that sound like? Right? Jesus. And our situation. Mark was without excuse. And though Mark was related to Barnabas, I don't think that was the deal here. I think Barnabas was primarily the kind of person who would not give up on someone. And who does that remind you of? Such a person, like Barnabas, recognizes the potential of someone. Remember, first he recognized the potential in Saul. When nobody else was going to give this dirty dog a chance after all he'd done to the church. He recognized the potential. And now Mark, and both of them had unrealized potential. And in fact, I think the record of Scripture really defends Barnabas as we look at the outcome. Later, of course, Paul is going to realize that Barnabas is correct about Mark. I mean, later on, in Philemon chapter 24, Paul actually commends Mark to the Colossian church in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. That's part of the prison epistles when Paul is in prison. And Mark is sent for by Paul as being useful in serving me, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4:11. Mark, if we look at what the church history has actually established for Mark, Mark actually eventually establishes the church in Egypt, which today is the Coptic church. That's what's left of it. But at one time, North Africa was the center of Christianity with great seminaries, and it was all Christian. You know, it dominated for a good almost 400 years. All of us, I think, have Barnabases in our life, someone who's seen the potential and encouraged us on. I can't imagine an individual going through life with everybody discouraging them. I just don't think that's what life is like. We always have a need of a Barnabas in Christian work. And I hope you desire to be that kind of a servant of God, to be that kind of a person. Because pessimists abound. Critics are everywhere. Doubters are in abundant supply. You'll find them everywhere. You'll find negative individuals that will sour the water. We all have a need of those who are generous, particularly in spirit and in attitude, of people who are willing to take a risk and trust, people who are willing to be self-effacing and help encourage and push forward the needs of the gifts for the purpose of the mission, people who are loyal and have a bigger picture in mind. We need to be thankful for the encouragers that we do have. And we recognize what it is that we're recognizing in Barnabas is some divine qualities. There it is, right? That's why his character sketch is so important to us this morning. Because God is a giver, right? John 3:16, Romans 6:23, right? God is trusting. He gives us free will, but he still trusts us to do what is right. In other words, that's called empowerment. He does that. Like the parable of the talents. He empowers us to do something. Christ took the place of a servant. God is loyal. He's faithful. The actual Hebrew word for that is hesed, the word for faithful, his faithfulness. And it expresses this idea of God's stubborn, his unfailing, his passionate loyalty, his steadfast love. He's committed to us. He's committed to helping us get through. He who begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He. When Hudson Taylor was so discouraged that he might give up his faith in China, he reminded himself that it would be God who, when he was faithless, that God would be faithful. Now, a person isn't, I don't think people are necessarily always born an encourager, although there are positive people. But I think our attitudes are very key. I think our habits need to be changed. And the biblical grounding for that, of course, is Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, where it says, "Therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, our persons, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So we need to have a desire to become encouragers and to be willing to work towards that end. God wants to give us the capacity to be encouragers like Barnabas, people who care about people, people who like people, people who desire that others might realize their potential in God. Now, Scripture urges us, actually, to be this kind of a person. In Hebrews 3:13, it says, "Encourage one another daily." I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to say, "I want to encourage you in Christ this morning." Just do it now. Just go ahead, just for a moment. The Scripture says, "Encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." It's something that we should want to cultivate in our lives, because the mission of Christ cannot be fulfilled in an attitude of pessimism and in an attitude of unbelief. God wants to transform these things. We need to be searching for ways to edify and encourage one another. Now, where did I get that? Hebrews 10:25. It says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking the assembling together as the habit of some, but doing what? Encouraging one another, and all the more as you say the day drawing near." Now, I'll tell you, because I worked many years in the Chinese church, I'll tell you what I've seen. In the Chinese church, we're afraid of telling someone that they did well, because we don't want them to get proud. We don't want them to get a big head. But you know what? Maybe we can break those barriers and actually say to someone, "Well done." Encourage people in their areas of gifting. Encourage the little lights that we see coming out of people's lives. Instead of seeing it as being worried about maybe a person getting a fat head or getting proud, see it as a way of encouraging them. That's another way of looking at it. Okay? Maybe I'm not talking about your church. Maybe I'm talking about other churches. Other one that I work in, maybe. I don't know. I remember one brother saying to me, "You know, all these different things, I wish sometimes people would just come up to me and say, 'Tony, well done.'" What was he saying? A little encouragement would be nice. That's what he was saying. It's like a drink of water. We need to do this, brothers and sisters. I tell you, we need to do this, right? We're all in this together. We're all in the same boat. So let's learn together from Barnabas by adopting the qualities that made him the encouraging person he was. The result will not only be transformed lives, but it's going to be a transformed church. Can you receive that? You can say amen. It's okay. You risk an amen. Amen. Let me pray. Father,